Okay, friends, I don't think I've been around this church since 2002, and I don't think once you have burst into spontaneous applause at any point in one of my sermons. But John mentions short and succinct, and the whole place erupts in cheering. So there's something wrong there. I'm just saying, no, it's very good. I will try my best to be succinct, although that is generally not my strong suit, as you all well know. We are coming to the end of our short journey, through most of Acts. I mentioned in Sermon 1, we'll cover about 75% of the passages. So maybe at some point we'll come back and cover those ones that we've missed or look at it again, who knows. But I do encourage you to follow along with the scriptures, whether that's through your own Bible, through an app, or there's some Bibles at the back there in the cupboards. I'm sure our friends will let you in to grab a Bible there. If you don't have a Bible, we'd be very glad for you to take one away. I heard recently that some of our Bibles are diminishing in supply, which is a great thing, which means people are taking them away, and we're very, very glad for you to do that. If you don't have a Bible, please let us know if you do that so we can help you. There is something, for me at least, I'm sure for many of us, very satisfying about a good, well-executed ending. Now, that might be for some of you, if you're thinking of a job at home, some of you are completer finishers, and others of you are not. And I don't want to see any couples looking at each other with accusatory glances at this moment, because I know that can be a source of tension sometimes. But when we think of things like watching a movie or reading a book, there is something very satisfying and happy and pleasing when everything ties together nicely in a fitting and right conclusion. In the Lord of the Rings movies, some of you will remember, Peter Jackson apparently loved endings so much that he had like six of them at the end of his trilogy for The Return of the King. I remember sitting there in the cinema and the screen faded to black. I thought, oh, that was such an enjoyable experience. And then it faded from black to color again for ending number two. And then there was ending number three. But at least he was trying to sum everything up nicely, because while a great ending leaves us feeling satisfied and at peace, there's nothing worse than if you read the last sentence of a book or get to the end of the movie when it fades to black and you think, what was that all about? And it just hasn't concluded. That's a very, very unhappy moment. The book of Acts does not have a bad ending, but nor really does it have a good ending. Because the book of Acts doesn't really have much of an ending, so to speak, at all. And that's a good thing. And there's a few ways we see this. You know, if it were a normal book that we were reading, you might want to find out what happens to Paul. He's in Rome. What happens to him? Well, Acts doesn't tell us. You remember with Peter, you remember I mentioned that Peter fades very mysteriously away from the narrative in Acts. He's this crucial figure, and then he just fades away around chapter 12 or so, as I recall. We don't get a final act in Acts, which kind of summarizes the spread of the church up until that point. There's no sort of summary sentence right at the end. We don't get any sense as to how the thousands of scattered believers are coping as they were forced to flee in light of persecution. You might want to hear an update. How are they getting on? There's not much of an ending. This sermon series has an ending. That's today. But the book of Acts doesn't really have much of an ending. And why do I say that's a good thing? It's because the story is not over yet. The story is not over yet. I watched Colin Ross's message from Kintore a couple of weeks ago. So I'm assuming when he was here last week, he mentioned that wonderful church planting ministry, Acts 29. And I love the name of that church planting ministry, because it speaks to that reality. It captures that tone that the story doesn't end in Acts chapter 28. It continues. And the message of that name for that ministry is an important one. And it's that we are the 29th chapter, so to speak. We are the continuing story of what God is doing. We here in Hillview Community Church, under God, as we seek to follow his ways and to see his kingdom come. We're the ongoing story. In the first sermon I preached on this passage, I read a quote from R.C. Sproul, who said, quote, "Acts is not merely a history book. It is a blueprint for how the church is to operate in the power of the Spirit." And so I want to ask the same question as I asked in sermon number one. If Acts is a blueprint for how we are to live and how we are to step forward under God in the power of his Spirit, are we up for this? Are we up for the story continuing through us in God's name? Are we up for taking what we've learned from this brief study and continuing to open our lives and pray that God would use us as he builds his kingdom here in the northeast of Scotland and the UK, Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and of course, to the ends of the earth? There is no ending, friends, no ending for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is just that continual great next new beginning that God leads us to. Every day his mercies are new, and every day we have that opportunity to press in again to what he is doing, to seek his path forward and that great next new beginning as he leads us on. And as we've looked through the bulk of this book, there were four threads that I hoped that we would repeatedly come back to, those four S's that I mentioned. I won't test you to see if you've remembered them, but Scripture, Spirit, Speech, and Salvation. Those were the things that we focused in on. There's so much more that we could have looked at in the book of Acts, but those are four things that I prayed and hoped would come up regularly. And I want to come back to those this morning and offer them by way of an encouragement and a challenge to us as God's people. Four encouragements, four challenges. The first is this: breathe the Scriptures. Secondly, welcome the Spirit. Thirdly, speak of Jesus. Fourthly, shine for salvation. We'll look at those each in turn. Firstly, breathe the Scriptures. Why did I say breathe the Scriptures? It's a funny way to put it. As I was preparing my manuscript here, I don't know if you can still call it a manuscript when it's on a tablet, but my notes, I first of all thought about writing cherish the Scriptures, or treasure the Scriptures, or love the Scriptures. And I went away from that because that can often have a sort of possessive feel to it. Not always, but if you treasure something, if you cherish something, you want to hold it close sometimes. You want to not keep it to yourself, but you want to guard it. And I don't think that's what we see in the book of Acts. The Scriptures are woven in to the very fabric of how the people of God operate. In the book of Acts, the Scriptures pour out from the followers of Jesus to others very naturally. They bring, like breath does, the Scriptures bring life and energy and movement. It is not just about information, important information that they are seeking to pass on, but the Scriptures mean present power for those who are seeking to step forward in Jesus. The Scriptures are fundamental to who God's people are, to how they talk, and to what they do. So I want to encourage us, Hillview, this morning. Breathe the Scriptures. Breathe in. Study them. Know them. Grapple with them. Become saturated in them, to change the metaphor for a moment. Become saturated in the Scriptures to the point that when life squeezes you, when life wrings you out, the struggles of life, what is it that pours out from you in that moment but the truth of God's Word? I want to encourage you, just like breath into our bodies, let the Scriptures become that which gives you life. That which fuels your energy and your movement forward and your meaning and your purpose in life. And I want to encourage you, don't just inhale, but breathe out the truth of God's word into this atmosphere around about us, that we might, as it says in the great Wren Collective song that we sometimes hear, that we might, as God's people, change the atmosphere as we breathe out the truth and the reality of who Jesus is from the scriptures. Please, if you would, turn to Acts chapter 17, and a very important chapter with regard to this topic of the scriptures and how the church used and cherished the scriptures. Let's read from verse 1 of Acts chapter 17. This is God's word. After they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As usual, Paul went into the synagogue and on three Sabbath days reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah. We see there that it was as usual that Paul went into the synagogue. I don't know if you remember, but we spoke some weeks ago about the various as usuals of our lives. As usual, we go to bed. As usual, we wake up and we brush our teeth and we eat our breakfast. As usual, we connect with people. As usual, we turn on the TV. As usual, we check our phones. As usual, we pursue whatever goals we feel we're called to. And I asked the very challenging question that was hugely challenging to me and remains challenging to me, and I think should be challenging to all of us, which is this. What makes us think, if we have all these as usual practices, what makes us think that we can survive in this life without the as usual reality of coming to God and receiving fresh bread from Him day by day, getting to know Jesus more, understanding who He is, understanding how He's called us to live, understanding how He's called Hillview Community Church to step forward. We must have this as usual time in God's Word. And of course, that is challenging to me, and I'm sure to many of us, as we look back and realize ways that we've allowed our phones or we've allowed other priorities to take precedence over time with God in His Word. But I just want to encourage you, I believe God does not want anyone to leave feeling condemnation and guilt and pain today. I do, though, hope that we might leave with that fresh resolve, fresh commitment, fresh understanding that it is vital that we are spending time with God in His Word, getting to know Him better and better as we step forward. Breathe the scriptures in, dear friends. Not just a cursory glance here and then. Those can be very dangerous, cursory glances at God's Word. Some of you have heard me tell this story before. But when I was 17, my mum had a little scripture of the day verse on the sort of doorpost of my back door, which was the main one that we used. And being a teenager, if I'm honest, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to that little verse for the day on the wall there. But when I was 17, I had my driving test, and I thought to myself, I should really get some inspiration before I head out for my driving test. You know, I need God's help, right? So I'll read the verse today. And I tell you the truth, I promise. The first five words of the verse for that day were, "For our brother has failed." I cannot remember. I'm sure the verse ended in a happy, fulfilling way, but I cannot remember what the end of that verse was. But all that to say, cursory glances can be dangerous, and they can lead to false interpretations, because I did not fail my test that day. I passed my test. So be wary of just cursory little glances at God's Word. Let's truly seek Jesus. This is the book of life. And Jesus is revealed to us in these scriptures. So let's not just dabble, but let's dive in to meet Him. Let us be, friends, a Berean people. Cast your eye down a few verses to verse 11 and look what it says there. It says, "The people in Berea were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica." Why? "Since they received the word with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Consequently, many of them believed, including a number of the prominent Greek women as well as men. Friends, this is what we should want to be. Earnestly, eagerly examining the scriptures that we might find Jesus and know his life. Beloved friends, breathe in and out the Holy Scriptures of God. Secondly, welcome the Spirit. As gloriously precious as the Scriptures are, for in them is revealed to us Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As gloriously precious as this book is, the Trinity is not God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. The Trinity is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we, as his people, need to welcome the Spirit into our lives. Absolutely foundational to how the church comes into being and spreads is the fact that God gave of himself, not just information to know, but of himself, presence, his own presence with us here in this very moment. A solemn thought, right? Thank you, God, that you're here with us in this place. And it was so crucial to how his people grew and moved forward. And we have to know the Holy Spirit. We have to know who he is. We have to know the gifts that he has given us and how he is at work in this world today. Friends, the very first thing, turn please to chapter 1. The very first thing Jesus does in the book of Acts is tell them to wait on the Spirit. Verse 4 of chapter 1. While Jesus was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which, he said, you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. That's the first thing Jesus says. Wait, wait for this. And then the second thing that Jesus says in this book, the disciples come to him and they say, is now the time for Israel to be restored? And look at Jesus' next words, verse 7. He said to them, it's not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In the intro sermon for this series, I mentioned how this book over history has come to be known as the Acts of the Apostles. And I mentioned F.F. Bruce, who is a New Testament scholar. He was actually from Elgin and now with the Lord. But listen to what he said. He said, the extension of the good news in the power of the Spirit is the theme of Acts. Luke makes it plain that it is by the power of the Spirit that all the apostolic acts were performed, so much so that some have suggested as a theologically more appropriate title for his second volume, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. We read it as the Acts of the Apostles, but he and others are suggesting this book should not be known as that. It should be known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, he does it through his people, but it is so crucial, so central, this idea that it's the Spirit who empowers and does all that work. And this is what we see, right? Remember who these guys were. They had abandoned Jesus. They were endlessly confused when he was with them about the nature of God's kingdom. They were terrified even after Jesus had risen victoriously from the grave. Do you remember it says they were found in a locked room for fear of their lives? They did not understand the nature of what God was about to do in bringing his kingdom. That, you know, that's the state that they were in until something happens Please turn over to Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost, verse 1, had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven. It filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then after that, everything changed. Preaching came. Power, the power of God came. Remember, please turn over to Acts chapter 4. After they had encountered this first moment of persecution and opposition, we see the strength to stand strong in the face of persecution came. Look at verse 29 of Acts chapter 4. They're praying, and then they say, "And now, Lord, consider these threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand for healing, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. So, tongues of fire, sounds of a rushing wind, speaking in other tongues, power to preach, power to stand against persecution, and then wonderfully, in Acts chapter 6, we see also that the Spirit enables those who are called to serve with gifts of administration and organization. It was men who were full of the Holy Spirit who were to be set aside for the provision of food to those who were most in need. I love that the Holy Spirit empowers all sorts of different gifts in the church of Jesus Christ. Towards the end of chapter 7, please turn over there, we saw how the Holy Spirit enabled Stephen to see Jesus in heaven standing, even as stones were being readied to crush him to death. Look, please, at verse 55 of chapter 7. It says, "Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, we see how it is as they move forward in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The church had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The church multiplies. This is how God grants us his peace, even as we step forward in scary, sometimes scary ways. That it's in the comfort of the Holy Spirit that we step forward. In Acts chapters 10 and 11, we see this wonderful reality, so precious and fundamental to so many of us who are not of Jewish origin, being here today, that God's Holy Spirit was not just to be poured out on his covenant Old Testament people, but that the Holy Spirit was for anyone who would come to Jesus. So, such an important moment that defines so much of why we are even here today in Aberdeen in 2025. And we, friends, we could go on and on through this book, speaking of the fundamental reality of the power of the Spirit. I read one helpful summary of the Spirit's work in Acts. From Pentecost to prison breaks, bold speech to miraculous healing, the Spirit empowers ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Amen. So may we welcome the Spirit. And I mean that in two ways. I mean, welcome the Spirit in your life day by day as you read the scriptures, as you pray, as you share about God with others, as you meet in your prayer triplets, in your small groups. I certainly mean week by week. May we, as Hillview Community Church, regularly welcome the beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit. Welcome the Spirit in that sense, yes. But also I want to encourage you, welcome the Spirit tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., wherever you are in your normal moment of life. Paul said, you remember, to the people of Athens, he said, "In him, in God, we live and move and have our being." So as you live tomorrow, as you move around, just doing normal stuff, The Spirit is there with you. It's in Him that you do all of that. And God's heart, as it says in verse 27 of chapter 17, God's heart is that our friends and family, quote, might seek God. And perhaps they might reach out and find Him, though He is not far from each of us. God is at work in this world. So welcome the Spirit. Ask Him to fill you again each day. And then also step in. Do you remember that idea of just as you walk into another room, as you go from one room to another, begin to form the habit in your life of just saying, just briefly, God, where are you at work in this place? What are you up to? That I might join you, empowered by you. You, your life and your work flowing through me. Welcome Him in your normal day-to-day lives. We can do nothing without Him, but with Him, all things are possible. Praise God. So breathe the Scriptures, welcome the Spirit, speak of Jesus. I'm not going to spend too long on this because only a few weeks ago there was a whole message on the importance of speaking about Jesus and the way, the fundamental way we see that in Acts. We've seen how important this is. Speech, I'm specifically talking about speech here. Forget that nice sounding quote often attributed to Francis of Assisi, because the reality as we read the book of Acts is that we should preach the gospel, and yes, words are necessary. Words are necessary. This book pulses with the apostles' words. We see the early followers of Jesus not simply embracing a certain lifestyle and living that out so that others might be blessed by God in that. That's important, of course. But we see them proclaiming to crowds and sharing the truth of God's word methodically in smaller settings as well, and everything in between. I said earlier on that the book of Acts has no conclusion. Well, of course, that's not literally true. There are a couple of final verses, and please turn there if you would, because we can see in these final verses just the centrality of speaking about Jesus. Verse 30 of Acts chapter 28. Paul stayed 2 whole years in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And we've seen these different types of speech, right? Proclamation, heralding, preaching, and teaching, discipling, journeying, grappling, understanding God's word. These are both important. I heard such a wonderfully encouraging testimony from someone in our church family who, someone came across their path just quite out of the blue, and this lady shared this testimony of how she was able to share bold and comforting words of God's truth with him and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was so encouraged, because I do not find that easy, that continual speaking about Jesus. I was so encouraged by her example, that idea of iron sharpening iron. We need to tell each other these stories, friends, so that we can encourage and spur others on. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you find this hard. I want to remind you of the wonderful glimpse that we caught of how we might chase after this in Acts chapter 4. Please turn there. Peter and John are being interrogated by the authorities. And look what it says in verse 18. The authorities called for them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." Isn't that just so amazing? We can't help it. We've seen with our eyes. We have heard with our ears of who Jesus is, and we can't help it anymore. Which, of course, then begs the question for us. What have we seen and heard of Jesus this week? that might enable that natural outflow of just speaking of him. That's what we see here. They could not help it because they had so wondrously encountered who Jesus was. And friends, we have the gift of his word. We have the gift of his spirit with us. What have you seen and heard? That's why we have to keep spending time with God, such that it would become the case that for Hillview Community Church, we would say, you know, I don't know if this is the right moment or not, but whether it's right or wrong, I can't help it. I cannot stop speaking of what we've seen and heard. You have to have that encounter that fuels that beautiful outflow of speech and other behaviors. May that be the case for us. Breathe the scriptures, welcome the spirit, speak about Jesus, and then finally, all leading to this encouragement, finally, shine for salvation. At the end of the day, what is it that we most desire God to do among us through Hillview Community Church? We desire for people to know the saving new life, forever life, that there is in Jesus Christ. This is the heart, the very heart of everything that the book of Acts is about. That people would repent and believe, turn from their own ways and turn towards Jesus. That they would know the reality of forgiveness from sins for the wrong things that they've done. That they would be filled with God's presence now and forevermore. And that they themselves then would begin to share of the wonderful truth of Jesus with those that they come across. And in this book, friends, we see the centrality of this. We see the urgency of this. We see the miracle of this. And the reality that God does do this. He brings new life even to this point here this morning. Please look at chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas quote from Isaiah chapter 49. Look at verse 47 of Acts chapter 13. They say, this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they rejoiced and honored the word of the Lord. And all who had been appointed to eternal life believed. On the basis of which I say to you, Hillview Community Church, go forth this week and shine for salvation. Shine brightly for Jesus this week. You are a light. And it is God who brings salvation. Isn't it wonderful that he has those who are appointed to believe and to trust in him forevermore? We do not know who they are. But God has those appointed for eternal life. And our calling is to shine brightly the glory and the truth of Jesus and his good news. That God will do his work and bring sinners to salvation in Jesus Christ. He did it in Acts again and again, and he will do it again and again until he comes again. May that be the case. And may we increasingly see that reality in Hillview Community Church. So excited that in 2 weeks' time we have another baptism after not many baptisms in the last year. But so far, was it three we've had wonderfully so far this year? Praise God for what God has been doing in Nikki's life and in Paige's life and in Jenny Hume's life in 2 weeks' time. What else will he do? Who else will he draw to himself and awaken in them that wonder of new life in Jesus Christ? It's what it's all about. Shine, that God would do that in and through us. Now, with that, we come to the end of our brief journey through Acts, and perhaps paradoxically, I was led back to chapter 1 as I want to make my closing comments. Please turn to chapter 1. I was prompted to think of these words of the two angels. Do you remember Jesus was taken up into heaven, totally shaking their understanding of what was about to happen? And they're looking up into heaven. And look at verse 11. It says, "Men of Galilee," the angels say, "why do you stand looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." The point is, the story continues. Get to work. God has wonderful things to do in and through you. Friends, we are the Acts 29 and onwards. That is how God has ordained that he will do his work through his church, empowered by his Spirit. Let us not just stare up into heaven week by week. We could do that, right? We could come here for 10, 20, 30 years, week by week, spend a little moment staring up into heaven, asking for God's forgiveness, that that's all that our life has become. Let us not just stare up into heaven, but may we go forward in his name and in his power, shining his light to this world much in need. Remember Spurgeon's words that I've shared before. He says this: we shall see greater things when we are more ready for them. Are you ready? Are we ready? Are we praying that God might bring that readiness about in our lives? We shall see greater things when we are more ready for them. God is waiting to bless us. He is working in the world today. The Acts of the Apostles was only the first act. The Acts of the Holy Spirit go on still. End quote. May we step out in faith and in the power of the Spirit and live for Jesus with all we have until he comes again. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you're here with us. How we need you, God. And just as we close, we just want to open our hearts to you and pray for that Acts 9:31, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that we might know your word, your encouragement, that we might know your help, your leading. Lord, that you might lift our eyes to heaven. Yes, that we might see Jesus. And then that in that power we would step forward with the power of Jesus in us, welcoming you, yearning that you would be at work, bringing new life in Christ to this world much in need. Help us, we pray, Lord God. Help us honor you. Help us serve you. Help us step forward in your name and in your power until you come again. Fill us up and send us out, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.